Now, criminals have found a way to lock your computer, seize your files, and demand hundreds of pounds to make it work again. The malicious programs they use are called ransomware. It works when fraudsters implant software on a computer, maybe through a rogue email, and it then makes the machine unusable until you pay to unlock it. These illegal programs are used to target individuals, businesses, even hospital trusts. Government crime prevention experts say cyber criminals are becoming increasingly sophisticated, and their online attacks are happening on a scale and boldness not seen before. We're also being warned that digital fraudsters are targeting internet-connected gadgets like smartphones, watches, televisions, even fitness trackers. So what should you do if you are targeted by online gangsters with ransomware who've immobilized your computer? Is it possible to do anything about it other than paying? We're joined by Dr. Jessica Barker, who runs a cybersecurity consultancy. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
And we've got on the line, let's talk to Kevin in Durham, first of all. On the line now, because you've had this happen, Kevin.
Yeah, it was a few years ago. I had this thing purportedly from the Metropolitan Police telling me I was guilty of one or other of around about 10 different crimes. And if I paid £100, nothing would happen. And I just couldn't get out of the program. We did work out how to get out of it, but it also showed me a video of myself in live time.
Oh, how strange. So they had somehow accessed your own computer camera, had they?
Yeah, that was pretty spooky.
Right, so did you pay the money?
No, we managed to get into the computer in safe mode before it all booted up and reset the computer. But I know other people that this happened to, and when I went to check it online, there was quite a lot of things on Google about this particular virus, you know?
Okay, so you go into safe mode. You're on Windows, are you?
Yeah, you had to be pretty quick.
Right.
If you went into safe mode, you could reset the computer to a previous okay setting.
Oh, I see.
It was pretty nasty. There's an old guy along the road got it, and I think he had to pay a fair bit of money to get it taken off. It wasn't a real easy fix, you know?
Thank you very much. Kevin in Durham, who was a victim of ransomware. Is it, actually, Jessica Barker, is that ransomware that he's describing there?
Yes, exactly.
Okay, so how does it actually invade your computer in the first place?
So often it will come in, as Kevin described, via an email. So a phishing email, a spear phishing email, which looks like it comes from a trusted friend, a colleague.
Spear phishing meaning?
So it's targeted at you, and it will look like it's coming from someone you trust or an institution that you trust, and it will contain a link or an attachment, and it will be encouraging you to click on that link or download the attachment. And when you do so, it will be a malicious infection, and you will infect your machine with ransomware.
Oosh, right. Okay, so it's out there and it's not uncommon.
It's really grown. We've seen it grown a lot in the last year or so. It's been around for years, but it's really been in the last year or so we've seen it rise in terms of extortion.
When you say spear phishing, you mean that the email looks personal because it seems to have been sent from a friend. Is that right?
Yeah, from a friend, or it might contain your name, or it might it might look like it comes from your bank. It might look like it comes from a friend or a colleague or a family member.
So I noticed, I looked in my spam box the other day. I had loads of emails which seem to be from people I know, but of course they didn't have the right suffix on them. They were not the Gmail or Hotmail or whatever. It was something else. How do these people know who my friends are? Is my question.
Yep, so various different ways. One way, the most obvious way, is if your friend's machine has been infected. So if your friend's machine, if their email account has been compromised, for example, then it will send out, they'll have a program that sends out an email to all of the contacts in there. So sometimes you can identify that these emails don't come from the person they purport to, as you have been able to see, but other times they can be more sophisticated and the email address can be spoofed to look like it does come from that person.
Okay, well, we've got lots of older listeners who may have had an email and they've clicked on an attachment and bang, their computer gets infected. Now, it will sometimes then go into lockdown, will it?
Yes, so sometimes the computer itself, the screen itself will be locked, or sometimes it will be when you go to access a file. You'll click on the file and you won't be able to open it. Instead, it will generate a ransom note.
Right. And that's for what? How much? usually?
It really varies. Usually it asks for payment in Bitcoin because that's easier to hide for the criminals. You know, it's easier to be anonymous when
Bitcoin is this
Bitcoin.
Weird fictional currency.
It's not fictional, but yeah, it's cryptocurrency. So it's a lot easier to be anonymous when you're trading in Bitcoin.
Okay.
So usually the criminals will ask for payment in Bitcoin, and often it'll be between half a Bitcoin to one Bitcoin. So the price of that varies, but often it's between kind of £200 to £1,000.
I see. So there's a temptation. Some people might just think, well, it's not that much more expensive to get round a bloke or a woman to fix my computer, so I'm going to pay it just for the sake. If you pay it, do you then get freed?
Not necessarily. And you've touched on the whole psychology behind it. So the criminals are using a fairly low amount to try and encourage people to pay up. And sometimes you will get the decrypt key, so sometimes you will be able to unlock your machine or your files. But of course, there is no guarantee you're dealing with criminals. So in about half of reported cases, the victims have not been given the decrypt key. They've not been able to access their documents.
Okay, let's just do some sort of factual questions here. Is it worse for Apple or Windows? Is one of them safer than the other?
So in general, we've seen ransomware target Windows users more, but that's not to say that Mac users are exempt and that they are never going to get hit. We have seen ransomware over the last year starting to target Mac users more and more. And as more people use Apple products, as more people buy Macs, of course, there is an incentive for criminals to target those users more. And as Mac users, you could be complacent into thinking, oh, I'm never going to get targeted. And that could be what makes you more weak.
Okay. My second question is, does it help if a lot of people have a hard drive attached to their computer that automatically backs up? I think with Apple, it's called Time Machine or something. If you do that, will that be exempt from the lockdown?
So you do want to back up. This is the key message with ransomware, is to make sure you back up your files, but also keep an offline backup. So you don't just want it to be connected to your computer. You want to make sure you keep it offline as well.
Well, that's easier said than done, because you forget, you know, what is it, a year old or 2 years old, you forget to renew it.
Sure, you want to get into the habit of keeping backups, because it might seem like a bit of a pain, but it's nowhere near as big a pain as if you get hit with ransomware and can't access
it. So if your backup is an auto backup, as it would be with Time Machine or whatever the Windows briefcase is, then it may get caught with the lockdown as well. Is that right?
This is what we're finding with ransomware, is it changes, it evolves all the time. So new strains are being released all the time. There was a time when it would just target one computer, one device, but it can now spread to a whole network. So it's really important to keep backups and to keep them offline as well.
Can you do what Kevin did, which is you hit Control-Alt-Delete and then go into safe mode? And restore to a previous version.
Yeah, that was a few years ago, as Kevin said, so I don't think that would work with the more modern ransomware strains. And as I've said, they keep evolving all the time. So in most of the strains that I'm aware of, that wouldn't work now.
All right, why don't we play some music? Do you want to stay on for a few minutes just to see if any listeners have questions for the brilliant Dr. Jessica Barker? Do call 0500 288 291. Can we free your computer? Have you had some ransomware? Did you have an experience? Have you got a tip on how to avoid it? 0500 288 291. Yes, it is scary. The feeling. Fill my little world. We are with Dr. Jessica Barker. Her business is called JL Barker Limited. Her website is cyber.uk, and she's all about cybersecurity. So we're asking about ransomware and how it works. And in summary, if you just joined us, you turn on your computer and it's locked, and you can't, and it says it needs a code to unlock it. And at some point you will have clicked on something, but God knows what. Jordan Murray in Brighton says, I was unaware of ransomware, and then my wife rang me at work to say our computer had been taken over. There was a blank screen and she couldn't get into any of our files. I fixed it myself, says Jordan. He doesn't say how, though. Can we even guess? It sounds like he went around with a hammer or something.
What he may have done, I would say, rather than a hammer, he probably did some research on his own. There's a great campaign, quite a new campaign, launched by the police and various cybersecurity companies called No More Ransom. And the website nomoreransom.org has a lot of information about ransomware and a lot of the keys. So if you've been infected, you could have a look at nomoreransom.org and see if the key is out there.
Okay. Is it possible to, if you get it, just shut the computer down and take it to an expert? Is that the best thing? Or should, because I'm just wondering whether the time you spend fiddling is allowing this virus to go deeper?
The sooner you take action, often the better. So that can be contacting an expert. It can be a case of either letting them look at the machine or letting them look at the files, and they may have a decrypt key or they may be able to get a decrypt key. So that is certainly one thing to try and do.
Okay, Arnold in Aviemore in the Highlands says, if you're unfortunate enough to be a victim of this, you may have downloaded something in an email or as a pop-up. If it tells you to phone a helpline, don't. Switch off the computer straight away. Go to your local computer store. They can retrieve any important stuff from your hard drive, then wipe it and reinstall any software. That'll cost you, but at least you won't be giving your credit card details to pirates. Good point. Jimmy in Somerset emails, I work for a company and it was attacked by ransomware. Our photocopier is connected to the supplier so they could know when the toner was low. And the supplier of the copier had a weak password, which the hackers were able to break. Luckily, it was spotted early, didn't cost us. Isn't that amazing?
It's connectivity and weak passwords.
But so through the photocopier?
This is the problem with connected devices. And certainly with having a weak password, it can just take one weak password in the chain of connectivity.
Okay, Guy Edme in Melksham, Wiltshire, tell us what happened to you.
So I was working at home and I was doing some research. I was actually trying to find a friend online, and up came their name. And so I clicked on it, and obviously I'd opened up the virus. And what was really interesting was that immediately the screen sort of basically changed, and it appeared that a Microsoft screen, because I've got Microsoft Windows on my laptop, Microsoft screen comes down with a telephone number on it. So I'm thinking, okay, that's legitimate. So I rang them, and almost immediately that I had called, I realized that I was wrapped up in something which was not what it should have been. But there I am. I'm looking at my laptop and I'm looking at the value to me of the laptop in terms of my business and everything else. And I'm thinking they want £500 basically to unlock it and allow me to have it back. And I'm trying to do a sort of mental calculation to say, you know, which one is the greater of the two evils? And while 500 quid is a lot of money, at the same time, it's less than potentially what I could have lost if all of my files had been wiped and my passcode hacked and, you know, and whatever, they got into my bank account.
So did you pay, Guy?
Yeah, I did.
Wow, you paid that with your credit card?
Yeah.
Oy.
I know. And then the bank, I phoned the bank up straight away and said, look, this is what has happened. And because it was late on in the day, the fraud department of the bank had closed because they only work office hours Monday to Friday, 9 to 5. So I had to ring them back the following day. The money hadn't left my account. They said there's no crime committed until such time as they actually draw the money down. And, of course, after the money has been drawn down, the bank turned around and said, well, there's nothing we can do about it.
Oh, my goodness me. Jessica, what do you make of that?
Yeah, so it's very difficult. Once the money's gone, it's gone and it's out there. I'd be interested to know, did you get the decrypt key? Could you then get into the documents?
I don't honestly understand enough about computers, but they did something which then released me from this sort of hold. But obviously, you know, I had to give them my, you know, I had to pay for it before they would do that.
All right.
So they then, you know, I paid the money, at which point they did whatever they did. And, you know, the computer was returned to normal. I've then taken it, obviously, down to my local guys and said, look, have I got anything on here which could allow this to be repeated? And that they assure me that I haven't. Whether that's true or not, of course, anybody's guess, I wouldn't know. But I had Bull Guard and I'd got all the protections in place. Didn't make any difference.
Thank you, Guy, very much. Okay, we've got somebody who's on the line who actually, I think, is being ransomed at this moment. Paul is in Hampshire. Good afternoon.
Oh, hi, Jeremy. Hey, how are you?
Oh, really good. But what's happening with your business?
Yeah, I run a small business in Hampshire. Last Thursday, we were locked down. I was actually working down in Weymouth, and one of my office staff called me and said, we can't get access to any of the files. I just assumed they'd gone in the wrong way. When I got back to the office, every single file, purchase order, statement, quotation, everything for the last 3 or 4 years has been locked. Can't get anything.
Horrible. Now, are you in that situation now or not?
Fortunately, I've got a really good IT guy. We back up everything. So the idiot that's locked us down, who's tried to ransom us, we just basically Took everything offline, uploaded the backups, and we're back up and running again.
Jessica, what do you think?
It shows the importance of backups, as I was saying before, so making sure that you have those backups in place so that if you are hit with ransomware, you can do exactly as the caller has done and just take everything offline, reload your backups, and not lose any of that data.
I'm just thinking, are your backups normally offline, Paul? Is that the key thing? Because a lot of computers, they back up, but they do a sort of live backup. So the computer's constantly talking to the external hard drive.
Well, we actually do our backups through Dropbox, but I am actually implementing another backup system. So we've got a double backup system where we physically plug something in every day and do a physical backup and then unplug it at the end of the day.
Yeah.
So we're running a double backup system because it's such an inconvenience.
Well, it's an absolute nightmare, but I'm so glad you're out of it, Paul. Well done. Thank you.
Thank you, Jeremy.
Paul mentioned Dropbox. There are, and forgive me if people are listening unfamiliar with some of these terms, but there are cloud services where you get essentially memory space in a remote location. Google Drive is another one. Now, would that be locked down? Presumably that would be exempt, wouldn't it?
Yeah, so using something like Google Drive or Dropbox can be a good way of keeping your backups. Of course, we have seen some of these systems being targeted. So one key thing with the cloud is taking care of your credentials, so making sure you have good passwords and making sure that you keep any documents that you store online well protected.
And people worry that if they put all their documents into the cloud, they might at some point be just wiped.
Well, you might have your account be compromised. You may not be able to access those documents when you need to. So we saw this last year. There was a big cyber attack which took out sort of large parts of the internet, or access to large parts of the internet for a few days. So things like that can happen, which can certainly be inconvenient.
I'll give you my story, okay? I was using one of these cloud-based services, and actually it was Dropbox, but it's not their fault at all. But I installed it on the BBC system, which I don't think is permitted in the BBC. I didn't realise that. And what I didn't realise, the BBC system at some point goes round and does a little spring clean. So at some point, the BBC automatic spring cleaner finds this little thing, Jeremy Vine's Dropbox, and it wipes it. And the Dropbox in the cloud, all my files, everything, it then gets a message, oh, Jeremy Vine doesn't want them anymore. So it wipes the whole lot. So I look in it, there's nothing there. And it took me, I thought, what's going on? And what was brilliant was that Dropbox kept a backup of the backup. So they had a bit of tape rolling somewhere in San Diego and they restored it all. But they said to me, don't ever keep your Dropbox client software somewhere like that where it could get wiped.
Yep,
this is it.
And keeping your own.
Is that a very bad mistake by me?
Well, one thing you need to do if you work in an organisation is make sure that what you are doing, what you're installing, is allowed and permitted within the policies.
I know, I've learned that.
As you've probably been told, but also keep a backup of your backups.
Thank you very much. Fascinating. And I hope that's helped people who are dealing with ransomware. Dr. Jessica Barker of JL Barker Limited, who runs a cybersecurity consultancy.